الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him by Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbul Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his Sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with you all. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you the best for your sacrifice and taking the time to travel, and it is our pleasure to have you here in Columbia, South Carolina. And with this subject, that Tawheed and Sufism, we're going to be talking today about Tawheed al-Ittiba'ah. Tawheed al-Ittiba'ah and Sufism. First of all, the Tawheed is to make the thing one, to make a thing to be one, okay? That means you try to make the imam or the leader or the your director to the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one, not more than one. And this is what the word of Tawheed comes from, to make the thing one, to make it wahid. The same way that the Tawheed, that you make the God that to be one God, and the deity to be one ilah, and that you only devote yourself to only one God and one deity, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same way that you submit yourself to one ilah, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also you have to have one direction, one leader, one imam, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the whole Islam comes under this two tawheed. The tawheed of the one that you worship and the tawheed of the one that you follow. If you have more than one to worship, that means you have other deity, other God besides Allah, you are not acceptable, accepted as a Muslim. The same way if you have the ittiba', the following, the footsteps, following the footsteps of anyone other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are also not accepted by Allah, even if you believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the purpose of sending a messenger is li ta'a bi idhnillah. The purpose of sending a messenger and a prophet is to be obeyed by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send the prophet or the messenger except to be example, except to be a leader, except to be imitated by the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had rejected the idea, the idea of false love. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي تُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love of being Islam, is not a piece of gum that you chew, okay? It's not a word that you be uttering. But this love, it has to have a reality. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made the right way the proper way of love to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a challenge in the Quran that if you are truthful, if you are serious and sincere about your love to Allah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, so show your love. By what? فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, so follow me, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who received the Quran, and now he conveys the Quran. Say, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, so follow me. If you do so, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, Allah will love you, Allah will love you, and forgive you your sins. Love from one side, it doesn't help, okay? If you love Allah and Allah doesn't love you, it's not going to help. You see? If you love Allah but Allah doesn't love you, okay? It's not going to help you. You see? So you want to be accepted by Allah. So if your claim is that you love Allah, and now you need to receive in return the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you're claiming you love Allah. Now you want to earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to get this love is by following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran says, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah will love you, and besides this also will be what? وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and He forgive for you your sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be example, to be a person that we imitate, follow His footsteps, to be the leader, that to be followed, and the Imam to be followed, not to advance or go before him, okay? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the only example can be imitated by Muslims, and the only example can be acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنٌ. Indeed, you have the perfect example in who? In the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this will cut off all this other ties and all this other argument about in my country they do it like this, my sheikh taught me this, I saw somebody doing like this. The only example, because the only one had received revelation, the only one is supported by Allah, is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, and only in Rasulullah, uswatun hasana. So if you want to imitate, if you want to follow, this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this one of the prophets that he been saying. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was able to drop a Quran on you. You will have a Quran. You woke up in the morning, you have a Quran sitting there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, that He sent a Quran, and He sent somebody with the Quran. He demonstrates the Quran, to put the Quran in action. So now you see the Quran in words, and you see the Quran alive, walking in the street. Therefore the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a father, he was a grandfather, he was a husband, he was Imam in Salah, he was the leader in the army. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has occupied all this field and all these offices and all these different different forms in life. So we can see him in different forms, as a teacher, as a leader in the war, leading the army, as a husband, as a father, all the things been demonstrated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as a worshipper, So it's no example that has not been demonstrated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have to turn ourselves to the other side, looking for somebody else to give us example. Indeed, you have what? The best and the perfect example in who? Is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a very short introduction and a summary about the Tawheed that we want to present today, about Tawheed al-Ittiba'ah, that you have one leader, one Imam, and that you follow him, and this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, there is no difference between the obedience of Allah and the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whosoever obeys the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed he obeys Allah. Okay? So it's no excuse now. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولَ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given you, that is. And whatever he has forbade, stay away from it. So we have no hujjah, We have no dalil, we have no evidence in Al-Islam except the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's turn a little bit to Sufism and what is the relationship between the Tawheed and the Sufism. Because if you get to understand about Tawheed al-Ittiba', that means you have one leader, one example, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are not going to deviate. Because this deviation of Sufism, it didn't come unless until the people deviated from this Tawheed. And instead of having Tawheed, one leader, one imam, one source of information, now they have more than one, more than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Became the wali, became the sheikh, became the tariqa, became the country, became the customer. All these things became a new shape as a leader, as imam in some of the Muslim lives. What is Sufism? Some of the people want to know what is Sufism, what it was. In actuality, I'm not so concerned about the background of Sufism, okay? Because it's not part of Islam. But since some of you would like to relate words in Arabic to words in English, or how it came, what is the root and all these things, some people say that Sufism came from Suf, okay? And those people who used to be concerned about those people who used to be concerned always to be in the first rank behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they're so concerned to be always in the first saf, the first rank, the first line. Okay? So that this word has been derived from a saf. Okay? Those people who always concerned to be in the first rank to get this reward, that they're always behind the imam. Some people say it came from Safa. Okay? Have a clean heart. Okay? That you have no jealousy, no envy, no hatred in your heart, that you have a clean heart. How that you work against your own lower desire, so you can have this safa and clearance, or you have a pure heart, okay? And some people, they said that this Sufism came from a souk, so it's material, wood, okay? And this material, which is little bit rough, it's not like silk, it's not like cotton. And the Sufi people who actually, they like to wear this kind of clothes because they don't want to be so attached to this material thing with this life. They don't want silk, they don't want cotton, they don't want this soft clothes though. They decide to wear this thing so it can make them more closer to Allah by keeping them away from all this soft, nice material. So it comes from the word Suf. You can keep going on and on about everybody how came with the root word, why and how came to reach this word. But the bottom line, you have to understand that this word Sufi or Sufism, okay, has no root in the Quran or the Hadith. Okay? This is something that you have to be aware about. If you go and look in the Quran or the dictionary or the lexicon, you found this word in the Quran or the Hadith has no place. Okay? This is something you have to be aware about. But some they try to say no. In actuality it has, but in a different meaning. Okay, where is this? They say the famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is reported by Ibn Umar ibn Khattab, that while we're sitting in a garden with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man which he has a dark black hair and white soap, and he looked like a stranger, but you could not see the result of traveling. No one can indicate that he's been traveling, and none of us know him. He came and said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Asnadu rukbatayhi ila rukbatayhi wa adaa yaday ala fakhdayhi wa qala ya Muhammad akhbirni ma al-islam qam ila akhir al-hadith." It's a famous hadith that all of you, or at least most of you, are aware about. Say, "O Prophet, O Muhammad, inform me about Islam." He says, "Islam that testified to the unity of Allah, established the five time prayer to the end." He says, "It is the truth." Okay? He says, "Akhbirna an iman." Inform me about iman. He says, "Iman, to believe in Allah, to believe in the angels, the books, to the end of the hadith." He says, "Good. Inform me about ihsan." Watch. "Inform me about ihsan." Sid al-ihsan, an ta'budullah ka'annaka tarah, fa'in lam takun tarah, fa'innahu yarak. Ihsan, goodness or perfection, okay, from hasan, that's good, excellent,
to extend, to perfect something, to make it excellent, to make it good. Al-Ihsan is that you worship Allah as if He sees you. If you could not come to this realization, be aware that He sees you. So they say, in actuality, Sufism is equal to the word Ihsan. Okay? Because in Sufism, you go through this exercise, okay? Training yourself, training your body, training your mind, training different methods and different ways of training to such a degree that you will give to this Safa, a good heart, a solid heart, that you will come to this stage of Al-Ihsan. But we ask the question that what Brother Muhammad in the morning, Muhammad Faqih, when he said, the people who argue about this, how the Quran, and is the Quran created or not created, when we have the debate, anybody still remember the debate? Said, we did something not to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? And the question was not, how you dare you talk about something in the deen of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't talk about. Okay? And if the question, you know, but he did not talk to us about it, how come the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will conceal information be given to him and he did not give it to us? So you go right or you go left, but you go right or you go left, is no foundation and no way for you to say how come this word. So you try to tell me a word been chosen by Allah, been selected by Allah, been given to the angel Jibreel, came to the Prophet Muhammad, uttered by Umar ibn Khattab, carried by all the Sahaba, generation after generation, until it came to us, now we are not satisfied with the term Ihsan. Which Allah has chosen this term? Because who said Jibreel? Allah. And who answered the question is the Prophet of Allah. And to both of them, they know what is Ihsan. Now you going to change something been given by Allah and you give us a different faith and you're going to call it Sufism. Who first gave you the authority to change a term in the Quran? Change a term in the Hadith? Do you have any authority to do so? No way. Okay? And how come you are not content and happy with the term been chosen by Allah and now you go to adopt a term been used or been given by the Sheikh? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Allah said in the Quran, who is better than Allah in speech? And who is better than Allah in saying? So who can be better than Allah? قُلْ أَتَعْلِمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ. Say, are you going to teach Allah about this thing? You are going to suggest to Allah what to say, what not to say, what term? So the term Ihsan has been chosen by Allah, revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the word Sufism is not known to the Prophet neither to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. If we study the basic, the ABC of Al-Islam, we will find that Sufism has no roots, no foundation, could not be adopted by anybody. First, the saying of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he always uttered in every khutbah, in every Jum'ah, in every opening, فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Indeed, every new matter added to this deen is bid'ah, is innovation. This is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ. Anything even introduced to this deen will be innovation. Now this introduction that he gave, or this what he introduced, is in a term, or in a form, or in a belief, or in a special code of grace, or whatever it is. Any muhdatha, anything new you add to this deen, with the intention, with the soul that's going to bring closer to Allah, this is innovation. Okay? And where is the place of innovation? Every innovation is misguided. Every. He did not say this and that, no. Every. So now Allah chose the term Ihsan, and now you want to use another term. Okay? And every muhdatha bid'ah. Every bid'ah dalala is misguided. And where is the misguidance going to take you? Hellfire. La'ayatullah. وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَ فِي النَّارِ. Let's now, like they say in America, I don't know how I say it, they give them the benefit of the doubt, or is this the way how they say it? Okay. Now let's give them the doubt of the benefit. Okay? It's something I know, they don't say this, but to wake him up so he can know that we still speak in English, okay? فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. Now those people say they have good intention. And all what they want is get closer to Allah. Those people, whatever they're doing, from fiqh, or from belief, or from exercise, or from discipline to the soul, okay? What all the things that they're doing is they have a good intention. No problem. Like they say in Arabic, nops. Okay? We agree about my sin and we have no problem about it, that you have a good intention. But let's go back a little bit to the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tell you about this small incident. الرعب الذين جاءوا إلى بيوت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يسألون عن عبادة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلما أخبروا فكأنهم تقالوها وقالوا أين نحن من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Few people came in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, can I help you? Yeah, we are here, we want to inquire about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam worship his Lord. Or my husband, which is the Prophet of Allah, okay, he does such and such, he pray at night, he gets up for an hour or two and goes to sleep after this. He fasts Monday, Saturday, 13, 14, 15 of every month, see? You see? So he breaks fast sometimes, he pray, and he fasts sometimes. Okay, fine. What else? He do this and this. They look to each other and say, but this is the Prophet of Allah. You know? Look to the logic and look to the good intention. Two things now. If your logic and your intention is not going to go by Quran and Sunnah, okay, and the understanding of the Sahaba of Rasulullah, you will go straight. Even the Sahaba themselves with good intention, he almost to go straight, but the Prophet came to correct his name. You see? Hey, this Prophet, Allah has forgiven him already. Okay? Allah has forgiven him. Therefore, if he pray 1 hour or half hour, or he doesn't even pray Tahajjud, he can forgive him. This is the Prophet, if he fast Monday, Saturday, he can forgive him. He don't even have to fast in Ramadan. This is the logic. But me and you, Allah was better where we're going. The Prophet been forgiven, but me and you wouldn't know where we're going. Therefore, it is for us to do more ibadah, to do more worship, to try to get more closer to Allah. Is this good intention or not? They have a good intention. They want to be more closer to Allah, and they look upon the Prophet because the excuse and the logic is forgiven by Allah, but we wouldn't know what is our position, so we need to do more. So one of them, he said, what I'm going to do, my commitment, that fasting every day, no more break. Alright? Can anybody say something wrong with fasting? Fasting is something good. Okay? Alright, the second person is going to do what? Say, me, no more sleeping. I pray the whole night, every night. Fine. What about you? وَأَمَّا أَنَا فَأَعْتَدِ لِلنِّسَاءِ. Me, I have nothing to do with my wife anymore. She has one room, I have one room. Or we have a bunk bed, she's in the top bed, and she's in the bottom, and I am the floor, in the top, okay? That means separate myself from my wife. No more this wife's business, because it takes me away from Allah. Because I want to be more devoted to Allah. Fine. We went about their good intention, and little bit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back. فَأُخْبِرَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِأَمْرِ هَوَلَاءِ الرَّعْبِ. Sayyidina Aisha, may Allah be pleased with him, his wife, told him, these people came, questioned about the way how you worship Allah, and told him such and such and such. And this was the thing. Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smile on it and say, oh, subhanAllah, look to this Sahaba, it's so concerned, subhan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was angry. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went, he had a gathering of the Sahaba, and he said to them, I swear by Allah, إِنِّي أَعْلَمَكُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَأَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ. I know about Allah more than any one of you. And I fear Allah more than any one of you. And still, please, get up for Tahajj. Fast, break fast. وأتزوج النساء فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. I am the prophet. I know more than any one of you about Allah. And I fear Allah more than any one of you. But I still pray sometimes, Tahajjud, and sleep sometimes, give my body rest. And I fast some days, break my fast, optional fast. And I sleep with my wife. And whosoever is not satisfied with my way of worship, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي is not one of me. See my friend? With good intention, it's not enough. You have to do it like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, otherwise you will go straight. So good intention is not enough to give you an excuse that you deviate or you do something different from the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beauty of this deen, deen al-Islam, is the religion of balance. Indeed, Allah has a right over you. Your body has a right over you. Your wife has a right over you. Give everyone their rights. You could not be only concerned about school. You could not be only for a mosque. You could, excuse me, brother, that you call it, okay, about masjid, okay? You could not be concerned only about wife. No. You have to balance yourself and you have to give everyone his right. And this is the beauty of Al-Islam. The seriousness of this matter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Bani Israel, because I'm showing you how serious it is, these people are changing a whole term from Ihsan to Sufism, from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to their exercise of Sufism. They have their own exercise. Okay, regardless if it's done by the body, or by the eyes, or by concentration and sitting quiet, or all these things, okay? So the change, what does it do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentioned about Bani Israel, وَقُلْنَا لَهُمُ ادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ ادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا وَقُولُوا حِطَّةً نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ خَطَايَاكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to Bani Israel, that enter the gate and say حطة, that means حطة عنا خطايانا, okay? Then ادخلوا الباب سجادا. Come to the city and come, enter the gate and prostrate yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say حطة, begging Allah to remove our sin, to put our sin away. نغفر لكم خطاياكم. As a result of your obedience to Allah and doing what Allah is telling you to do, نغفر لكم خطاياكم. We will forgive for you your sin. What happened? فبدل الذين ظلموا قولا غير الذي قيل لهم. But the wrong one, they had changed the saying that been given to them to another saying. Now I want everybody to wake up for this moment, and after this you can continue in his name. Only for this moment, be awake. What did these people say that the wrong doer, that Allah calls them wrongdoer, and Allah says they change. And instead of saying Hitta, they said what? Hinta. Now those who know Arabic, what's the difference between Hitta and Hinta in writing? I'm not asking your meaning. Look, so how many letters this, Abu Ahmed? One letter. One letter. One single letter, they change it intentionally in the deen of Allah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them to be the wrongdoer, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them to be cursed and to be out of Islam. فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا خَيْرًا الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ. With only one letter they change. Because it's not a matter of a letter or a sentence, it's a matter that are you willing to submit to Allah and to accept what Allah has given you to be enough way for salvation for you or not. But those people said in the middle, when they enter the gate and they say Hitta, they say Hitta. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. So how are you going to change the word Ihsan to Sufism? How are you going to change
the form of ibadah that Allah gave to us and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you're going to allow a sheikh or a wali or whatever you want to call him, or name it whatever, a khutbah or maulana, or that he's going to give you his own way how to worship so you can reach. So you can reach. This is good, and this is deviation. And if any person change something like this, that means he's calling the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained to us and show us in the Quran as well in the hadith how we can get closer to Allah. And before we get to this, the Yahudi themselves, the Jewish themselves, they knew that this deen is perfect and this deen is complete. Okay? And they make a mockery and make a fun out of Salman al-Farisi by saying your prophet has taught you everything, even the manner of using the bathroom. Because in actuality the prophet has taught us everything. So it's no need for a new sheikh or an imam or anybody to come to introduce something to this deen is not in the book of Allah or in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salman al-Farisi said, yes, indeed the prophet has taught us everything, even how to use the bathroom. As a result of this, he called us not to make istinja with the right hand. Not to face the Qibla or make istighfar to the Qibla while we're using the bathroom. If the Yahud, they knew that this deen is perfect and complete, how the Sufi could not live that this deen is complete? So that means the Sufi became worse than the Jews. You see, because the Yahudi, he knew that this deen is perfect and complete. Doesn't need any addition. But now the Sufi will come and give you a different exercise and tell you you need to sit in this dark room for, you understand, 3 hours every day after sunset, and after this you say this, you understand something, because this is to bring you closer to Allah. See? It's because the Sufi is worse than a Yahudi, he doesn't know that the deen is perfect, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us everything. He said, من الحديث that ما تقرب إلي عبدي شيء حب إلي مما افترضت عليه ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه. So you want to get closer to Allah, this is the way how to get closer to Allah. There is no means and ways for a servant of Allah to get closer to me, that means to Allah, Allah is talking in this hadith, better than what I made it obligatory on him. The best means and the best way to get closer to Allah by fulfilling the obligations, the 5 time prayers, fasting Ramadan, giving the zakah, going for hajj if you have the means. This is the best means. Okay? Now you want to get extra credit. وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. So there is nawafil. There is optional deen. There is optional deen. And now you want to get closer to Allah, so by the optional deen, which has been legislated by Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As example, if somebody fasted Ramadan, says, okay, I fulfill the obligation. I want to get more closer to Allah. I want to have this safa in my heart. I want my heart to be closer. Say, fine. But how are you going to fast, and the when and the where? All the things being designed by Allah and His Prophet. As example, you can fast the 6 days of Shawwal after Ramadan, okay? You can fast Monday and Thursday. It's not enough. So you can fast 13, 14, 15 of every month of the Islamic calendar. It's not enough. Everything's not enough. We say, okay, the fast is the fasting of the Prophet Dawood, alayhi salam. Okay? Other than this, there's nothing for you. Fast one day, breakfast one day, every other day. Somebody wants to do optional, even the optional being prescribed by Allah and by His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is very important for the Muslim to understand that this deen is complete and perfected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who believe in the Quran and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we recite the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Al-Yawma Atmaltu Lakum Deenakum.
وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Today, okay, it's 1500 years ago, before the death of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah revealed to him that that day I أكملت complete for you your deen, the way how to get closer to Allah, the way how you worship Allah, the way how to live as a Muslim, it's complete. And my brothers and sisters, if something complete, you need any addition, it is complete, they say it complete. That means ready for delivery. I say, I already closed the box, it's ready to go. Say, can you what? It's already Allah say complete. Now you say it in English or you say it in Arabic, أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. And I perfected my favor. Again, make it perfect, make it good, he designed it. You don't need anything. وَأَتْمَنْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. And listen, what? وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And please, with the Islam is a deen and a way for you to live by. How Allah can be pleased with something that is not complete and perfect? See? So the basic understanding of this Quran is not exist with a Sufi. Because the Sufi is presenting something to you that is not in Quran, it's not in Hadith. And if it's in Quran and Hadith, so why you call it Sufism? Why you are not calling it there? You say you go this way or you go this way, it's still wrong. Say, no brother, it isn't the Quran. Say, where? Say, here, this verse is saying something. Say, so why you don't say it this? Oh, this is Hadith. Hadith say, make Zikrullah. Say, okay, what? Oh, the Hadith says it's true. So why don't you call Zikrullah? Why he has to give it in different times? But it's not a matter of different titles. And we are not supposed to change the titles also. It's not ours. It is belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has perfected, and Allah is pleased with you, pleased with it to be in deen for you. The saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hadith which reported by Aisha, رضي الله عنه من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Again, توحيد الاتباع. Unity of leadership. Okay? We need one imam, which is the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the Prophet is saying to us that whosoever do any form of ibadah, doesn't matter by heart, by action, by length, by aqidah, by belief in your mind, okay? By your heart, any action of ibadah is not agreed with my affairs, my actions, what I talk to, but the Quran will be rejected, will be served back, this is called our belief. Understanding of the words of Rasulullah that whosoever does any action that doing this to please Allah, this word of Allah, but it's not really to say, not in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what to be that love, power, will be rejected. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say?
He's starting to break.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The sound is breaking.
Okay, let me
go okay.
Okay. Salam alaykum. Well, it says in Kalim, as long as you don't get him in the camera, it's okay. If you get him in the camera, we can sell this video thing for $1,000 each cup. Continue, brother, please. Highway 61. Is okay? Moving? Okay? Okay. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلِ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had drawn a straight line. As this is the side of, he made another line. And he recited the verse, indeed, this is the sirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the nature of a sirat al-Islam, it is straight. Straight. Look, it doesn't go like this, and sometimes you call it Sufism, and sometimes you call it understanding, and sometimes you call it and keep going, okay? No, mustaqim, it's straight. And follow it. Allah is commanding us to follow this as-sirat. The sirat is guided by what? Quran and Sunnah. What shines the beams, the light,
the understanding of the Sahaba of the Quran and Sunnah. Okay? So, فَاتَّبِعُوا follow it. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلْ and don't take any other roads, any other exit. Because any exit from Al-Islam, okay, any exit from Al-Islam, any name different from Al-Islam, any methodology different from the Sunnah of Rasulullah فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ it will take you away from the main highway, which is the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Now, with this introduction, my brothers, if we really can focus in these few verses and these four hadiths that I studied, you don't need to hear anything about Sufism or any ism. Anybody come with something that is not in the Quran, is not in the authentic Sunnah of Rasulullah, is not understood by the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, you tell him out. Why we think the understanding of the Sahaba? The Hadith is not enough. You are not qualified to understand the Hadith, and I give you a very simple example. We have a Hadith which is very authentic, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى مَلَائِكَةً سَيَحُولَ فِي الْأَرْضِ تَلْتَمِسُونَ حِلَقَ الذِّكْرِ that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has angels which they make siyaha traveling in the air and they searching for halaq al-dhikr. They're looking for the circle of remembrance of Allah. So if they find one, if they locate one, they will call each other. And they come and they come and come and they become so crowded, talk of each other until they reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reach all the way up. Okay? Now somebody will take this hadith and say the hadith is authentic and the angel searching for the people who make it sick. So every Sarah day and night he bring, you understand, five brothers or whoever in his location and three sisters and they will sit down and make so-called halaq al-dhikr. That means remembering Allah. 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 Allah.
Because say that it's a hidden name.
and look. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Huwa, or who, is not a name. It's what? Anybody know? Huh? It's a pronoun, it's not even a name. But how did he get to this conclusion that who will be al-ism al-a'zam, the great name that if you ask Allah with it, that He will answer you? So they sit down and say, and after this they stand up, hold the hands together, and inside will be a man, a woman, a man and a woman, okay?
Enemies of Sufi and things like this.
You have everybody his own way of how they make zikr, how they make halaqa, how the some people they have the khalwa, some people have the zikr, some people have the exercise for the soul, some people the virtue from certain food to eat, some people they have to make you different for your body. Okay, so they are different. But one of the most serious things they do, okay, they call in other than Allah. They have shirk. And some of them, when he comes in difficulty, he's been told by his sheikh that when you are in difficulty and hardship, remember my faith. And some of them he found in his wallet the picture of his sheikh. So when he go in the exam, the final exam, he put the picture in front of him. When he goes in the aeroplane, he put the picture first on him. Or otherwise he has to visualize it in front of his eyes. Or he says, Madad ya Sidi Fulan. Okay, Madad, from to supply or to give support. So when you are in difficulty, instead say, Ya Allah, say, O Sidi Qadri, O Sidi Tisufi, O Sidi Mawlana, so and so. Okay, you call on human being. This is human being. Not even alive, a dead human being. And this been taught by tariqas, by sheikh, okay? And this is something very serious. And this is against the Quran, against the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah recorded in the Quran, is تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. Remember, when you call in Allah and He has answered your call. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said what? إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you seek help in Allah, and if you ask Allah. Call only in Allah. Okay? This is a serious matter that they do by calling on the sheikh or visualizing the picture of the sheikh in their mind or looking to it, and when they are in trouble they call in them, and this is shirk wal iyadu billah as the sheikh in part of the faith of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ يُمْدِدُكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ. إِذْ يُمْدِدُكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ. So the one who gives in that, give supply, give strength, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he reminding the Prophet as well as the Sahaba, remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had strength in you, okay? And a common word among so-called Muslims, okay, and even Arab Muslims, you finally understand something, it's madad sidi, mish arif me. Madad ya shadli madad. In fact, how do you say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Oh, Sidi, so and so, madam, give me supply, give me, take care of me, okay? And after this, he will recite Al-Fatiha for him. The Fatiha that your prophet say, Iyaka na'bud wa Iyaka nasta'in. Thee we worship, and from thee we ask him. Even the words, the utterance, they don't know about. The qibat, no building over the sheikh, grave. And the tawaf and surrounding, going in a circle around it, as a form of obedience and coming closer to the sheikh or to be acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they have the things among them. And everybody has his own tariq. As example, one of this tariq, which good popular one in Egypt, in Tanta, and Sheikh Sayyid al-Badawi. The Badawi, I think, is visited every year by at least 3 million. And for your knowledge, okay, 3 million a year. And you have to understand, for every Sheikh there is Sadana, which I don't know actually what is the word that I can say it.
this sadhana that work like a to be the one who protect him and direct him and watch him and take it over after the grave. These people, for your knowledge, they are the most rich people, some of them millionaires. While you find in Cairo, as example, people, 5 and 6 people ride one taxi. And this taxi takes this one here, not one person in a taxi. 5 people go in different direction, you ride one taxi. You will find the one of the 7 and the one who take care of the grave, he drives it Mercedes. And you don't know what does it mean to drive Mercedes in Egypt. Out of what? I've been one of the taking coins of the, because it became a business. It became a business to these people, okay? That the people will come, they will bow down, they will kiss the steps of the door when they come, they lay down in the grave, okay? And they be touching it, okay? Go around it like the Kaaba, and after this, $10, $50. And this person comes with half of the dowry of his daughter. I make a vow, sister, by Sheikh Badawi, that if my daughter, my husband comes to her, half of the dowry for you. If she got married, he got the money. Mother Didi Badawi, if my daughter have a girl or a boy, I'll bring such. And he found millions of people coming, dropping money. Money. This became a business. And to find something like this, it became so strong, and this is the first people, and there you found top zikr, okay, of zikr, and you found people playing with all kind of sport, and everything goes under Sufism and zikr, and getting closer to Allah. As I said, the zikr in company, collective zikr, one of the methods of Sufism, it never been done by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, neither by the Sahaba. Even the zikr after the salah, which he say, Subhanallah 33, Alhamdulillah 33, Allahu Akbar 33, this to be done individually. The Imam in his own, the Musallim in their own. We don't know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had led the Sahaba that he said Subhanallah, and everybody after him Subhanallah, 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 and they go in rhythm together. This is not by that. This one of the main things that the Sufis do. It's not that this is a problem, only they invent their own zikr. They give themselves the right to legislate to the murid, which we're going to explain to you what to be a murid, okay? The murid like a wanter, okay? A person that you really want, that you want seriously, that you want something seriously and you're ready for it. And that you're willing to do anything to reach this goal, if you want to be a murid. Now, whatever your sheikh is going to tell you, you have to listen. Don't question the sheikh. This one of the main articles of Sufism, and this one of the main ways for you to be part of Sufism. Never question your sheikh about anything, even if you see something objectionable, because the sheikh has his own way. Okay? You could not understand. And the story about Al-Khidr played a big role in the Sufism. And you have to understand it, okay? Al-Khidr, which is a righteous man, and what happened that Musa alayhi salam, one day he gave khutbah, and Bani Israel was so excited about this khutbah, and they asked the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, do you know anybody who is more learned than you? He said no, okay? The Prophet Musa said no. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonished Musa about it, because he was supposed to say what? Allah was best, Allah a'lam. But the Prophet Musa said that, because knowing being a Prophet Messenger of Allah, Kaleemullah, that who else can be more learned than me? So Allah said, I have a hand of mine. I have one of my slaves that who's more knowledgeable than you.
Musa alayhi salam, he could not take this information. How is slave of Allah in existence that they are more knowledgeable than me? I want to learn from him. Where I can go, how I can go about it. And I'm sure all of you know about in Surah Al-Kahf. What happened, and finally, Musa met with the Khidr. And after this, he started to see something which to Musa, objectionable. Something crazy. Hey, what's going on? Did I tell you? I'm sorry, I forgot. Khidr see a young boy, take him, kill him. Hey, what's going on? قتلت نفسا زكية بغير نفس. قال انا ما كنت اقرا نفس. I'm sorry, I forgot again. I told you I'm not going to be patient. He said, I'm sorry, I forgot. Okay. Hey guys, give me a ride. Nobody wants to give a ride. Okay. Finally found out. Go, somebody give you a ride. Go and dig a hole in it. What crazy stuff. People give you a ride and after this you go, what, dig a hole in there. I told you that. So I'm sorry. So finally, he explained to them, to Musa, what happened. ذلك التأويل ما لم تصدع عليكم. ما فعلتم عن أمري. I didn't do it from my own. Okay? In the end, Khidr explained to him that I did not do these things in my own. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had directed me to do these things. So then this is the thing they play around, the story of Khidr. It's not everything can be explained to you. Your sheikh can know something that you don't know. And it's not for you to question. لا تعترض فتمطرخ. لا تعترض فتمطرخ. If you object, you be kicked out. This is the policy. You be with the sheikh. كل مجي. Yes. On the tariqa, be in the road, you want to be acceptable, and you want to reach, you as a murid, the serious want of this, that you have to be with your sheikh, like he did his body among the person who watching him. Imagine, he did body, where? With the mughassil, the person watching. If he clip you this way, could not tell, oh man, let me wash the left side first. You did. If you put the body and say, oh man, this is too cold, what about you warm this one? You did. You see, so the person who washing you, he do anything to you, could not tell him anything. Is this true? And this is what they teach. So you want to be a murid, you want to be a real, you want to reach, your foundation, it has to be this. You have to understand the policy. You are dead. I'm watching you, so whatever turn, whatever way I turn you, لا تعترض فلا تمطر. This is the policy. And one of these stories, they said that this man used to pray Zohar, and this is like in Egypt, okay? That, but the time for Zohar, they see his sheikh, get out, he leaves. He doesn't pray Zohar with him. But the policy is that he could not, is not supposed to ask the question. For years, he never told the sheikh making salah with him. Later on, he traveled to another country, okay? And suddenly, he saw the sheikh making the salah behind the imam there. He was shocked. After the salah, he didn't see him again. So he went to the imam and said, do you know this guy that he just was praying to the end? This man, every day he come pray behind me. Okay? This man who came from Egypt, went to Baghdad, to Iraq, all the way, traveled, okay, which approximately about 2 hours flying, okay, when he went there, he saw his sheikh there. The sheikh that he always see him in Egypt, but during time of Salah, he disappeared, he doesn't pray with him. So when he went there, and he saw him in the rank with the other Muslim praying there, he asked about him, and the imam said, yeah, we know him. He come every day and he make Zohar with us. Give me your mind now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Nobody understands. Enjoy your name. One of the things they use as a form of their worship, duf, wal mizmar.
imitation to the kuffar before Islam. Okay? And again, I'm not telling you things only from books, I'm telling you things from experience. Not that I was a Sufi, but I was a child, and I used to go there from places, you understand, and watch all these devious things, because as a kid, you see, you found these big flags, and big people that marching in the street was all green and white, and all the things, and La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah written in it, and you boom, 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 and you get excited, and you go and see what it is, okay? And you go and you get excited, you want to see these things. Later on, when I grow, I understand, I get to know that these things is wrong and it's foolishness, it's not to do with Islam, okay? So some of this tariqah, because as I told you, there is many tariqahs for the Sufis, they use the duft when they remember Allah, okay? And they use the flute, okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ صَلَاتُهُمْ عِنْدَ الْبَيْتِ إِلَّا مُكَاءً وَتَصْدِيَةً. The kuffar, because even before Islam, they still respected the Kaaba, okay? And their salah by the Kaaba used to be a form of clapping and whistling. So they used the same methodology of the kuffar before that, the dope and the flow. They have a special clothes, green clothes for a shazliya, red turban for Ahmadiyya, a brown belt, not the karat stuff, brown stuff, the other is white about this, okay? And a long zikr bead, this for Khadijiyya or whatever they call it. So they have a special kind of clothes to classify their tariqah as well as a flag also and all the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give any information about. Let me tell you some of their so-called karama. Karama, when somebody is good believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor him with something, okay? As example, only to give you example. The first thing that comes to my mind to give you example, that you are a good person, you always complain about making the 5 time prayers in the mosque, and you woke up and you were supposed to catch your flight 7 o'clock in the morning, you woke up late, okay, and you look in the watch, it's 7:15, okay, by the time for you to get dressed and walk to the airport and all the stuff, you need at least 45 minutes, okay? So, now, you go to the airport, you found that this flight for mechanical trouble or problems or whatever is still there, although you're there at 8:30. And as soon you get on the plane, catches the flight, now the flight ready to go. So what is this something like something special that Allah has made it and you feel that this has been done specially for you to Allah to help your situation? So those people claim the karama. The karama is something for the awliya, for the righteous people, it's something, yes, it can done, can be done, okay? But the karamat and with the Sahaba used to be very, very, very little, okay? And became later on more with the later generation. So some of those people, Sufi, they believe they have a karama and that Allah honored them with something specially, okay, as especially for them. And they have a lot of story about their karama. One of these, as example, that the sheikh, when he used to enter any town or a country, that he used to give salam to each person, each individual in this city, male, female, young, by their name, knowing everybody's name as if he used to live with them. So if he goes to Charlotte, as example, he never been in Charlotte before, says, Salaam alaykum, Shaykh Yunus, Kif halaka Abdullah, Kif halaka Sa'ad, how are you, sister Aisha, okay? And he will give salam to every individual person in the village, name them name by name, as if he used to live with him. One of the so-called karamat happened to their sheikh, okay, that the line being so submissive to the sheikh to such a degree that the Sheikh was able to ride on the line like one of us rides on a horse or in a donkey. One of the people transgressed against the Sheikh. So he said to the ocean, take him. So the ocean moved all the way and came in the city, swallowed the man, and after this, the water went back after drowned this person who transgressed against the Sheikh. One of the people entered the house of his Sheikh and he saw him sitting in the air. Without a chair, okay, he's sitting, and listen to the end of this, and he has 7 eyes. One of the Sheikh, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him the authority over everything, trees, water, everything. And even he can talk about the unseen and the hidden things. One of the people went to the Sheikh, and his Sheikh used to go from different stages, from a stage to stage. And one time he went to visit him in his house. He saw him in a form of a soldier. Another day he went, he saw him in a form of a lion. Another day he visited him, he saw him in a form of an elephant. One day he went and he saw him a young child. And this sheikh used to take the dirt from the ground like this, pass it to the people, but when he gave it to them, it turned to gold. He used to take another sheikh, he used to take one piece of watermelon and call all his murids, his students, and everybody come with an empty plate, and the sheikh will take this piece of watermelon and cut and fill everybody his plate with watermelon and sell the piece, the same piece in the hand of the sheikh. To such a degree that some of them used to turn the watermelon to different colors, from red to yellow to white. One person harmed the sheikh, talk bad about him. One sheikh had looked to a dog. A sheikh looked to a dog. As a result of this, all the dogs became following this dog. So that this dog, because the sheikh had given him a look, he became a leader for all the dogs. To such a degree, when this dog stops, all the dogs will stop. And if he walks, he walks. He informed the sheikh about what happened with the dog. So he said to the dog, and he said to him, "Ihsan." That means like, be doomed or something like this, okay? As soon as the sheikh said this to the dog, all the other dogs used to follow this dog, they start to bite this dog. Another sheikh, he looked at the dog. All dogs became to follow this dog, and even human beings, they start to follow the dog, and when they need anything, they will ask the dog. When this dog became sick and finally died, all the dogs came around him and started to cry. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired some people, so they made a grave and a dome for him, and the people start to visit the dome of the dog. One of them, he went and visited the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
and said, O Prophet of Allah, I am your guest. Assalamu alaikum, and he made salam to Abu Bakr Siddiq and all the rest of the Sahaba that stayed with him. And he said, my eye closed for a moment, and then he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam give him a piece of bread. So he said, he buys the piece of bread, he ate half of it, and after this he heard a noise, and he woke up from his dream, and he found the other half still in his hand. One of the sheikhs, he rode the camel or his dab, which can be a dog or a camel or whatever it is. One of the students of the sheikh, he rode a dog, and after this he saw, a donkey, and the donkey died. And the student or the murid was so upset, so he went and told the sheikh. So the sheikh, he went and he said to the donkey to get up. So the donkey got up alive, and the man took it, and he was happy with it. Another sheikh, somebody invited him for dinner, and he put before him birds, fried, barbecued, whatever. And the sheikh, after he ate, he said to the bird, get up, to the bird and start to fly again in the air. And now, I'm sure some of you understand, like, say, what kind of story? Yeah, this to you is not unbelievable, I'm not ready, but to the murid, okay, to the student of the sheikh, he better believe anything, and he better be ready to reach a position like the sheikh. Otherwise, that if he starts to have an inch of doubt of these things, that he's not going to reach by any means. This is some of so-called karamat, or claiming karamat, or speciality that they've been giving to some of the Sufi. Now I want to give you a general idea about how to be a Sufi and the relationship between a Sufi, a murid, and his sheikh, which I had mentioned a couple of them. Before I go to this, let me mention to you about some of these schools like Al-Qadriya, Rafi'iya, Al-Ahmadiyya, Al-Suqiyya, Al-Baghdadiyya, Al-Muliyya, Al-Naqshbandiyya, Al-Malamatiyya, Al-Marghaniyya, Al-Sultaniyya. And this is in a different places in all over, wherever it is, in Arabia, in India, Pakistan, wherever you go, you will find something about this thing. Number one, you have to be with your sheikh. With your sheikh. The person who's going to lead you. Like, as I said, a dead body between the hand of Mughassil, the person who washes. That means you don't have any question. If you tell you go home, you go home, sit in this place until tomorrow. You have to sit in the same place until tomorrow. Even if you have to use the bathroom, you could not use the bathroom. Use it while you're sitting in the same spot. Doesn't matter if you wet your clothes. Doesn't matter, you understand? The whole thing, if you do what the sheikh telling you, this is the only way that you can. Okay? Don't do anything different. So he said, you sit in this spot until tomorrow you sit. If you have to use the bathroom, use the bathroom even while you're sitting there. It doesn't matter how it stinks, how bad it is, doesn't matter. Don't object to anything, otherwise you'll be kicked out. You are not supposed to deal with knowledge of the Quran and Hadith, because these things in the book. But we're teaching you something else. The halal and the haram, and Allah said, the Prophet said, you can take it from anybody. But this knowledge that God it be given to you by the Sheikh. This is special, does not go by books. Okay? It doesn't go by books. Don't enter, don't leave, don't go, do anything, don't occupy yourself with anything except whatever homework that the Sheikh gives to you. Any person asking the Sheikh why he never will succeed. Any person who doesn't have a Sheikh, the Shaitan will be his Sheikh. Yarhamukallah. That means to them that you have to have a Sheikh. And the Sheikh is the one who's going to lead you step by step and show you the way how to reach to Allah. How you can see whatever other Muslims could not see. How you can indicate what's going to happen tomorrow. How you can read the protective book. How you can see the angels. How you can see the throne of Allah. How all the things. Don't have friendship or company with anybody who is the enemy of the Sheikh. Okay? Anybody talks about the Sheikh? Hell, you could not even talk to him, you could not be a friend of him. This is the general thing that the Sufi have to present it to their murid, the seeker of this way and this methodology. As I said, the Sufism, it goes from a different tariqah to other tariqah. Some they've been trained by different exercises. And I used to have even one uncle, okay, that he used to be in one of these tariqah. And one of their training that they trained them in different exercise how things not to hurt their body and their flesh. Like walking, you understand, in a cone, how to put nails under your feet. It's a matter of exercise. And after this thing is not going to. And I used to see this so-called tariqah that my uncle was part of it, okay, that they will take, you know, this is long stick made out of metal that made shish kebab on it. What they call skewer. This is the first time I hear it. I know about shish kebab, but I'm not concerned about what I'm concerned about what I eat. The skewer, okay, they will take this and actually they will stick it in their cheek. And it go like this and come from the other way. Take it in their stomach, all the things. And this is supposed to be part of the exercise and part of the way how to get closer to Allah. So some, this is the way how they've been trained about to do this exercise, walking on a fire, stabbing themselves with things like this. And all the things supposed to be the way to bring you closer to Allah. Some they use the swinging, okay, and different exercise, so-called circuit of zikr, okay, remembrance of Allah. Some of them they use the dhuf and flute and different musical instruments. Some of them they use what you call khalwa, okay, seclusion. Seclusion or peace and privacy by yourself for a certain number of days. And some of them they use. You have to be also in a dark. It has to be in a certain room with a special colors in the curtain. Some they use not eating certain type of food. Okay? So everybody has their own method, okay? And the Sheikh is the one who gives you, and he's the one who have to know what living that you now ready for this, to be told this, now you can eat this, now you can say this. Okay, now you can say this is 100 times, now you can say this 1,000 times, now you can say it 1,000,000 times, like this, okay? And some of them, they use that going and walking in inhabited places, like desert places, like ruined area, and to be there by yourself, away from your family, for a such number of days. And for your knowledge, that a big part of these things you will find with the Jama'at al-Tabligh. Jama'at al-Tabligh, if you observe them, you will find a lot of this Sufism and all the things you find in them.
And this is the reason he found that when somebody go outside, as example for Jawala, he found somebody sitting here naked because he say he charging the battery, sending some kind of energy to them to keep they understand the way to go. So he will be sitting and with a big repeat in the message. So somebody working outside and somebody like this is the station. You know that what you call Mualid al-Kahraba is the station generator, okay? So the generator is sitting in the masjid and the other people giving the jawla outside. So you, if you observe, you understand things like what they do in Jama'at al-Tabligh, you found a big closeness between this and that. Some of them they use salah, some of them they use the fasting, okay? Some of them they use, as I said, to sit in a different places and say different dua. And some they even selected dua and they recommended dua to their followers, which is not in Quran, which is not in the hadith. And some of what they say is shirk. Some of them, what they believe is shirk in the way how they say it, okay? Okay, the sister wants to cross, please. Thank you. Now, the belief of Sufis is various. Okay, this is something very important that you need to know about it also, the belief of the Sufis. Some of them, they believe in the Hulul, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come, okay? And that you and Allah and Allah give you. It's not to believe in one of the wujud. That whatever you see is Allah. The report is Allah, the book is Allah, the will is Allah, the is Allah, but Allah is in a different manifestation. Okay? This is called what is wujud. The leaders like Ibn Arabi and all these people, okay, and Mahidin, all the leaders of this, that this some of their belief and this what is written in their book, Wahdat al-Wujud, okay? So whatever that you see is Allah. So in actuality there is nothing called Ma'bud and Abid. There is no Abd and Ma'bud. There is no slave and a master, okay? So is all what you see is nothing except God, and that God presents himself in a different way. You can see him in a tree, you can see him. And the best form that a Sufi would see God is in a form of a woman. Yes. And they have also some, they believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being part of Allah. Being part of Allah. Some they believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam been created from the light of Allah. Okay? From the light of Allah. So basically there is no one single belief among the Sufi, okay? But it is enough seriousness to understand that they have the belief that you can have a different imam and a different method to worship Allah, get closer to Allah, different from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, different from the way of the Prophet. So in actuality they don't have tawheed in itiba'ah. Okay, they do not believe that the only method and the only way and the only leader and the only imam is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh can give you a way, regardless if it is the Quran, in the Sunnah, doesn't matter. As long as you follow the Shaykh, that you will be successful. What else I should inform you about the? Yes, some of the Sufi also, they feel that the ibadah and the form of worship is for the regular Muslim like me and you. But for them, they don't have to have ibadah. Okay? The ibadah for these people who do not have wusul yet. Okay? And they said, Allah said in Quran, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship your Lord until the yaqeen comes to you. So if the yaqeen comes to you, you don't need to worship anymore. That means worship God Almighty Allah until certainty comes to you. Became real to him.
it became real to him, so that he needs for Salah, because he already had reached the position of your queen, and now he can see it, and he can tell you even what the angels write, he can hear the sound of the pen, okay, while they're writing, so he had reached. So there is no taklif for the sheikh in the Sufiya. The Sufis, the real Sufi, he doesn't worship Allah because Jannah, neither for the love of Jannah, neither he worship Allah because the fear of hellfire, okay? But he worship Allah because Allah, because the love of Allah, okay? So he doesn't care about Jannah, neither about paradise. And by one of the shatahat of the Sufiya, as example, that the Shaykh had asked Allah three things. He gave him two, and he did not give him the third. I forgot what was the first two, okay? But the third one, the murid, the student, asked him, why did Allah didn't give you the third? That means he supplicated Allah, and he asked him for three things, okay? So Allah answered the first and answered the second. But number three, Allah didn't answer. So the murid asked the Shaykh, what it is? He said, I ask Allah to make me enter hellfire. So Allah denied me this one. And say, who are Shaykh? He said, because if Allah answer my dua and I enter hellfire, I will throw, I spit on it, the fire will be put out. And will no be more fire. There is no more punch. So we can go ahead and continue more and more telling you about Sufism, but indeed the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran, and the best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that the wealth of all affairs is innovation, and indeed every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. Regardless this addition is the belief, is the practice, is the aqidah, in the letter, in the form of dress, in the form of doing anything, is not been legislated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a way to lead to hellfire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. If I said it,
I know it was a long lecture, and I really appreciate your patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. I hope you benefit something from it, inshallah. And inshallah, we leave you now with, if anybody have question and answer, we are not going to answer them now until you go over the notes. I hope that you got some notes. If not, you can get back to the website and download the lecture and listen to it again. And after this, because this is one of the basic foundation of Islam, so it was not only about Sufism, but it's only about how you can establish an understanding about the deen, about the Quran and the Sunnah. So I would like you to digest the lecture before we go in a question and answer, inshallah. So now we leave you for Sister Layla, inshallah, going to take over, and after this I'll be talking to you. JazakAllah khair. Thank you again.